I just heard it this morning. The alarm going off in my head. This internal alarm. Yes, like October is here, which means we need to be thinking about this.
Hey, let's build it with Corey Heppala and from Lindus Construction, Andy Lindus.
By this, I'm assuming you mean dark beer?
Stouts and porters, men.
Men. It's the best part of all fall. That's the first thing on my fall checklist. Stouts and porter in the beer fridge. Check.
Going to admit, didn't have this years ago, this internal alarm. It was something, if I did, I just hit snooze and I just ignored it. I didn't want to deal with it. But now it goes off and it's loud. And as a homeowner, you've got to have this internal alarm. Look, October's here. Fall is here. You've got to start thinking about that fall home improvement checklist, Andy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I it goes off in my head all the time. And in my fall home improvement checklist, it's gotten bigger over time, and then it shrunk a little bit. But there's a couple of things that I make sure I do every time, because literally it's just by not doing a couple of these things, thousands of dollars have been spent by yours truly because of damage caused. And it's something that I just will never not do again this fall, starting off with rodent prevention. I'm telling you, it was $2,000 on the lawnmower when mice built the nest in there. I had red squirrels in my attic. It was $6,400 to re-insulate my attic and get all the tunneled systems stuff out of there. They chewed through some metal in there that I had to get rid of. I've had mice in different places around my house. I've had squirrels in different places around my house. And so everything that's going to be set aside for the wintertime is going to go through whatever essential oil I can get my hands on that's in the pepperminty mint family. And I take a rag and I cut apart a rag and I douse that essential oil on there and I throw it up in the attic. I put it in my lawnmower. I put it in the walls. I put it in spaces that normally, like right where I'd see signs of mice, because I'm telling you, that mint smell, for whatever reason, it's so strong to them, it keeps them out. Since I started doing that to my attic, I've never had an issue. And it seemed like I was chasing something in the attic every year. I live in an oak forest. Those acorns start dropping. The squirrels try to hide them everywhere. I've, you know, putting on boots before to a pile of acorns that something decided to hide in that boot in my garage. So I know those peppermint little sheets, they go everywhere, first and foremost.
If you see a mouse in the house, what do you do? Do you go after it? Do you swear? Does your wife or kids, do they freak out or are they helping? Like, what's the situation look like?
You know, my wife is actually pretty tough when it comes to mice and snakes and bats. And, you know, we live out in the country. She's dealt with most every critter inside the house. Seems like they like to get in the house when I leave town, for sure. Especially bats. But it's all hands on deck. We've had, we try to get the bats out alive because we notice over the years our bat population's gotten better and our mosquito population's gone down. Like, we can see bats flying around at night, but I almost never get bit by a mosquito. So I'm okay with that. But rodents, yeah. I can get scared by them, though. I did the other day. I found one of my pets must have put the end to a little mouse the other day. So I, the prankster, I set it out and thought somebody would walk by it and scare. Well, 20 minutes went by and I forgot that I put it there and I jumped from it. I scared myself and then I had to, you know, tell my children about it and haven't lived down since.
So rodents, number one on that fall home improvement checklist. Mm-hmm. What else are you looking at? What else are we trying to figure out here before we get to winter?
You know, I'm going to do a general inspection of the entire exterior of the house. And if I can't get up on the roof, I'm going to try to look at it with a pair of binoculars or borrow some type of optics from somebody to get a really close look. Anything loose, anything I need to address, because if you have ice dam issues or snow in the wintertime and it gets in there, again, hundreds, maybe even thousands of dollars worth of damage cost. Any of your caulking that's cracked around your house, any paint that's loose. I'm going to look at the dryer vent. You know, those types of areas move over time. Just, I'm going to try to reseal up everything. I'm going to have a can of 1-to-1 expansion spray foam and a very good high quality exterior caulking from OSI in my hands. And I'm going to go around my house and touch up things. Usually only one or two things a season that has failed. The caulking's cracked or pulled loose. House has moved one way or the other. that I have to fix. But there's always something. It's pretty rare that I walk around my house with those two tools in my hand and something doesn't get attacked.
What's the date where you all of a sudden transition your fridge to stouts and porters?
I like to refer to it as September. So not quite October, but still in September. Like somewhere that last 2 weeks of September, things start going a little darker here at the old man cave.
Yeah. So you've started the transition into stouts and porter weather. And those Oktoberfest it's like a creep. Like all of a sudden that's in August now. Is there a point in time when you get into fall where you're just like, I've had enough of the Oktoberfest and pumpkin, or are you good with it?
I maybe had too much of pumpkin before fall started, but other than that, fall can't last long enough for me. It could be 12 months of the season. It's my one, I'm a Leaf Guard guy. So the leaves start falling, our phones start ringing. So I just kind of always love fall, but this, the cold, crisp weather, the everything, it's just my favorite time of year. And it's not even close. This is, the next 3 months is what I live for, Corey. This is fun for me.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about, just people buying houses as is. And we got a lot of feedback on that episode. So I wanted to explore that with you a little bit further because it has been an odd trend.
Hey, here's what's trending.
I think this is odd for a couple of different reasons. One, people buying houses as is, no repairs, not even looking at the place. That's odd in general, but that's probably associated to the hot housing market. But what would you say is the odd trend that you're seeing as a result of people buying these houses as is?
We're running into this more and more where people need the financing and the payment plans in order to do the projects that they need to get done in order to prevent further damage on their houses. And a lot of times these are people that have been in the house since this year. I don't run into that a lot. It's pretty rare that they got through by the skin of their teeth to get the financing approved, because you couldn't find another split level home that went for 450 grand or whatever the case may be. And depending on the area of the city. So getting the financing approved through a bank is one thing, but once you're maxed out there and you need to spend 15 grand on something, I'm thankful to have programs like that available, but still 6.9% on an interest rate. Now, my dad will tell you that 6.9% is a great interest rate, but his first home, we were going over the other day, $1.10 went to the principal. It was at 17.4% in the early 80s, mid 80s, like 84, for his first mortgage or his second mortgage. We can get there at some point, but I don't see it happening right now. Money's cheap, but when you're max valued, your options are limited.
Yeah, I think my parents, they said their first house was like at 13%, and then they refinanced at 11 and 9 and 7, because it's just like, whoa, I can't get any lower. And then it just did. And now I think we refinanced for 2.6 just this past year, which is nuts. And I can't see it going any lower, but I mean, who knows? But here's been the result of this odd trend now, people buying houses as is. People are overpaying for homes, right? I mean, that's a reality. It's almost like the only way you make money off your home is if, like, I have a cousin who moved from Denver to rural Minnesota. Denver, insanely hot. They just moved to get back home. Well, then you move to rural Minnesota. Well, now you make money on your home. But other than that, people are, you're leaving one place and then moving to another place because that still costs money. But then if you're buying it as is, like, Andy, you might have to put in a lot of money in these places, like, windows or roof treatment. I mean, all these things you and especially if you don't get an inspector, you might not know these things are coming your way.
Yeah. So there's lots of stories out there. I have no more money. I've spent everything I did in order to get this house. I don't know how I'm going to pay for the $30,000 of home improvements I need to do in order to save me 50, 60, 70 grand in the long run. Because if they're not addressed, sometimes they do cause issues. Now, if we're just talking aesthetics and changing the look of the house, people can live without that. But some things you just can't live without, and they have to get done. And when that happens, that's a kick in the gut, and it's not fun news to deliver for people like me.
Yeah, and it's I'd heard the term house poor, right? Where it's all of a sudden, you look at the number and you see, oh, we can do that. And you crunch all the numbers, but then you're like, oh, I didn't expect this. Oh, I didn't expect that. And oh, groceries cost more, or oh, now this happened. And then there's always an emergency. And you know, we talk about financial literacy, but also keeping up that emergency fund, because we know something's always going to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to. That was one of the first things I learned. But I've been house poor. I was 19 years old, newly married, brand new kid, bought a house in St. Cloud, Minnesota for $65,000 in 1998, I want to say it was. And I was house poor. I mean, I just had a new job, wasn't making enough money. My wife was still going to school, had a car payment, had insurance. I mean, there was nothing. I couldn't have put 15, 20 grand into that house. Not that first year anyways, but there's a lot of house poor happening right now, because it's, when you overextend yourself, you overextend yourself. The money just if you think home values are going to continue to go up like this, I would disagree with you. I think you need to look into it a little bit more.
Yeah. Just as an aside, I hate watching those HGTV shows where they're like, hey, look, your budget is $600,000, and they show them three houses and one's like 900, and they're like, you know what? Let's do the 900. I'm like, oh, God, don't do that. You're going way over your budget. It's not even close. Stick to the 600 or under, and then renovate it or whatever. Do the right things there. But I don't know. That's me. Another thing that I know that is on this checklist, Andy.
Hey, here's health.
Is thinking about spring. I know that sounds weird. We've got winter sandwiched in here. But if you have a project, now's the time to think about it, because the way things are, and you guys are busy, you want to get out of that schedule. And if you have a project that you want done next spring or summer, call now.
Yeah. There's a lot of contractors that do what I do, and we'll lock your pricing in. I have good enough relationships with a lot of manufacturers that if I know that I'm going to be doing a project next June, I can work with them and lock that pricing in on that project. So even if the pricing goes up 40%, if you're willing to put a down payment down, I'll lock that in right now. And I think that's the best way to do home improvements, is to plan it a year in advance. So if you're looking at getting something done in 2022, if it were me, I would start getting estimates now. Just what I'm going to do. It's just going to be, you're going to put yourself in a better spot. You never have to make a fast decision. You're never making an emotional decision. And it gives you the time needed. And you can stick to the timeline. If you can sit to a contractor, it'll be like, hey, can you start in 6 weeks? Maybe. But like, hey, can you start in June? All right, we're going to lock in this date in June. We're going to finish by this time in June. Contractor can plan that out then. I mean, just know that in his schedule, his or her schedule, they got to do that. And it just seems to go much easier. Yeah. So I love planning for spring this time of year.
Yeah. Most people probably aren't planners though like that, are they?
No, and I'm not either. I can tell you when stuff goes sideways in a home renovation project, it's because of lack of planning or fast decision making or trying to rush something through. So, and it's so out of my nature. I'm a fly by the seat of your pants. I don't know what is going on tomorrow half the time. Well, you know what it's like to work with me. Put it this way to the rest of the world. Corey probably wants to kill me because I've rescheduled this podcast way more times than I should. But my schedule is jacked up. But when it comes to home improvement projects, dude, I'm planning that shit just because I know. This is what's going to happen if it doesn't. One, I end up having to do all the work when I don't plan. And I'm just too busy and old now to want to do it all the time. Once I built this shed, I'm like, yeah, no, no more. My hands were numb every night for like 3 months after this build. I'm not doing that again.
You're too old. So, you know, to get you back for rescheduling the podcast so many times, I'm going to ask that this project in our house, we get it done next week. There, you know, now we're even.
No problem. Hey, careful what you ask for. Remember, like when you rush projects, that's when they go sideways. We can probably start next week. I just don't know when we can finish. The demo guys are always available.
Yeah, that's very true. And that was always good advice. That was a tip. Here's another tip.
Hey, here's a pointer.
When it comes to the fall home improvement checklist, one of the things that I think might get overlooked more often than not, and I know it's weird to say, it's your furnace. Okay. And if you're not calling a professional to come out and do that annual service on your furnace, at least change your filter and then use a shop vac and vacuum out any dust that you can see, one with a little bit of a brush on it. You can get in there and then open up every duct, put the shop vac down that duct as far as you can, try to vacuum out some of that. Trust me, you're going to be in a much better spot. But I still, when I talk to customers and I ask them, I go, how often do you have your furnace checked? It's under half the amount of people. So it's like probably 30, I don't have the exact numbers, but it's probably closer to 30% than it is 50% of the people that actually get their furnaces inspected on an annual basis or ever. Usually the answer is whenever there's a problem. Mm-hmm. And that's the recipe for spending more money than you need to.
Yeah. Andy, crack open a stout. Good work, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.